All right, welcome to Today-ish with James and Danny. I am your co-host, James Lee.
I'm Danny Love.
And today we're going to go down a few rabbit holes, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, the stuff with Charlie Kirk is just so confusing because there's so much information out there and it just, you can't help but go down these rabbit holes.
You can't, and people are still talking about it. It's been 2.5, maybe 3 weeks. And this seems like it's going to be the JFK of our time.
I mean, 100% is. And did you see that now? We knew that they were like covering up or cementing over the area.
Yeah.
Where Charlie Kirk was speaking and the assassination happened. But now they're like painting the ceiling and...
Well, they're removing some paneling from the ceiling area in the tunnel underneath the building that's behind the stage.
Yeah, it's like, these are the reasons why people have questions. I have never seen any renovation done this quickly in general, let alone right after an assassination during a crime scene.
Correct, because I think that should be preserved. Now you're changing the physical characteristics of the crime scene. So let's say there's a trial later. The jury oftentimes will go visit in these kinds of murder situations and say, okay, this is where he was sitting, because they're going to present the evidence.
Of course.
And now it looks different.
Right. And the trial is starting October 30th, right? That's what we've heard now.
That's not the start of the trial. I think that is the next court date of when the next phase of it happens. I don't think the trial is beginning. I don't think that's when the jury is going to be selected or anything like that. That's just when Tyler Robinson is going to be in court whatever proceeding. I don't know all the details behind how that really actually works and how many of these pre-trial proceedings need to happen, because Luigi is not even, his trial hasn't even started yet, and they've had multiple court dates. They're, because a lot of times what happens is the prosecution and the defense, they go in and they try to see what he's going to be charged with, and they argue over that for a long time, because now they just had the terrorism charges removed for Luigi Mangione.
Yes, I saw that.
Totally makes sense, because
I feel like they're going to want to expedite this because it's unraveling and it's falling apart. You have Candace Owens now coming out saying that she has family telling her he didn't do it. He's never stepped foot on campus. He's not suicidal. When you see him coming out in these pictures wearing the suicide vest, he did not send those text messages. Those text messages are ChatGPT.
No, I think ChatGPT would have done a better job.
Probably.
I don't know what that is. Candace, I always have to say, you do have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, because she's doing a trust me bro situation. I just want to throw that out there that I think she's on to something. I think the official story is off, which we'll get into with some of our digs today. But we don't know for sure if she's going to go and change some of this information.
And I'm in the camp later where she's convinced me that Bridget Macron is a man, a biological man. So, you know, I take it with a little less salt.
Okay,
okay. But one of the weirdest aspects of this assassination was this guy, George Zinn.
Yes.
And Joe Rogan talked about this on his show, and I think he really summarizes what's going on. So I'm going to play this clip, and then we're going to go deeper into George Zinn.
Yes.
I don't necessarily think they know what's going on yet. There's a lot of weird shit going on with this.
I know.
First of all, there was that one guy who was the decoy. All right, so you got this guy who's an older guy who starts yelling out. Didn't he take his pants down? He took his pants down. This guy was at 9/11. He was at the Boston bombings.
All the hits.
He called in a fake bomb at another place. And then he did this at this thing. Right after, so somehow or another, this guy has the state of mind that the moment someone gets shot, he yells out and says, I did it, and takes his pants down or something like that. I don't know exactly what he did. Then, ready for this? He gets arrested for child porn right away.
Right after this happened?
Oh, right away. He's in jail for child porn. Why is that? Well, now you can't interview him.
Right. He's got, right.
Right. And when the internet people start going, how are you at all these different things? Like, what are the odds? Like, if someone ran it through one of the ChatGPT fucking perplexity things, like, what are the odds that
odds
this guy
this? Yeah.
would be at all those different events and be involved?
So really wild, right? And it's like, who is this guy? Who is George Zinn? And there's basically nothing on the internet. But yesterday, we knew we were getting ready for this show. and we wanted to do a deep dive. I found this podcast episode, and the podcast episode is Stokes and Folks, and it's this guy in Utah that goes around and he interviews people. And the name of the podcast is called Special Guest Interview with Georgian, Utah's Most Famous Political Celebrity. That's interesting in itself, right? To have that title for this just random guy that we've been told is this leftist lunatic that, you know, wanted to help the assassin get away.
They characterized Georgian as a leftist lunatic?
Originally, yeah.
Originally, okay.
And they showed this picture of him dressed up for Halloween or something where he was dressed with a pregnant belly holding dolls. And they were, everybody was saying, oh my gosh, you know, this crazy leftist lunatic.
Yeah.
So anyways, I reached out to you. The podcast had been completely deleted and I had been trying for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I did the Wayback Machine. I did as far as my technological abilities could get me. And I call you and I'm like, hey, I know you're busy, but blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I can get it. And then of course, James Lee magic, you get the freaking podcast. So I listen to this podcast and it's really, really interesting. I believe that they scrubbed this from the internet because to me, it gives us enough information to lead us to believe that he is a part of intelligence. So again, the title is Utah's Most Famous Political Celebrity.
Oh, before you get into all the details of the podcast, I just want to react to the Joe Rogan
video please.
Really quick in that you kind of know that this assassination is a little different. It does seem like some kind of professional operation only because the disinformation starts immediately after the shooting, right? There's this guy, this decoy. There's multiple things that are weird going on, people that are shouting weird things immediately. Whereas we've had 3 to 4 mass shootings over the weekend, right? We had that crazy dude who drove his truck into a Mormon church, did horrific things in there, killed a bunch of people, and also something in Georgia or North Carolina. Anyway, there was a bunch of things, but it was like very clear from the reporting. It's like, hey, this is what happened. This is the guy. There was no weird shouting, right? This one, you could see it's a little different right away. You're like, this is weird.
Yeah. No, there were so many things, and it was also like we talked about the morning after it happened. They were already starting with a narrative when they hadn't caught the shooter.
Exactly, exactly. Then that's how you know there's something weird, and that's why I'm excited about this. I didn't have a chance to listen to the podcast because I was on a different dig, which we'll get into later in this episode, but let's get into George.
Yeah, so what we know so far from just the internet doing their thing, right, is that this guy was involved in 9/11. He's actually featured in a 9/11 documentary, which is wild. That's just one weird thing.
And when we mean involved in 9/11, he wasn't
a
terrorist.
He flew the plane.
No, no. <I'm>
No, but he was in New York. He was a bystander, and he was someone who's been interviewed and quoted in these 9/11 documentaries. Then in 2013, he was charged with a bomb threat at a marathon in the aftermath of the Boston bombing. And then he was also someone who did a bomb threat in the Salt Lake City marathon. So this guy has had his fair share of these situations before. And what's really crazy in this podcast, there's a lot we're going to get into in this podcast, but he also was at the Kobe Bryant sexual assault trial and was one of the rare people that got in. He has a way of worming his way into things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually quoted in CBS News and ESPN. George Zinn says this about the trial, da, da, da. It's like, where does this, he's freaking Jack in the Box popping out of nowhere all over the place.
Right, and I'm just looking up, right? I'm Googling as you're telling me this stuff where you're saying this guy has called in multiple fake bomb threats at various places. So I'm just looking up, hey, calling in a bomb threat carries significant legal repercussions on both state and federal levels, including felony charges, significant prison sentences, and large fines. So how is he still, or how was he still free up until this point, right? Unless you're insinuating that he is a part of the deep state.
Yes. So let's just start with his childhood. Everybody thinks was just born in Utah, regular family. Not that this really matters, but it could if we find out other information. He was actually born in Athens, Greece. And at a year and a half, he was adopted by a family in Utah at about a year and a half. And this family had four girls. They really wanted a boy. And his parents were older when they adopted him, 50 and 60. His dad ended up passing away when he was 12 years old. And so he grows up in what he describes this family where, like, he wanted to play football, but his mom was like, come knit with me, which that just sucks for any kid. But he grows up Mormon in the LDS community. And so after he graduates high school, and in high school, he was a part of Model UN. He was always interested in politics. He goes to the University of Utah and starts studying psychology. And then he goes to do his mission, part of the Mormon church, a part of the LDS church. And what's crazy about this is, I don't know, I didn't know much about these missions, but 73% of the people in the Mormon church that do these missions go out of the country.
Mm.
So majority. George Zinn ends up going to a place near Richmond, Virginia to do his mission. So not far.
Was it Langley?
Not Langley. I'm kidding. But that's actually an important point, right? He's this kid who studied model that was into politics in high school. He goes into college. He's studying psychology. He does his mission in like, let's just call it Richmond, Virginia. This area was about 120 miles away from the CIA headquarters. And what's crazy about that is that the president of his, of the Mormon church at the time that was doing this was this guy, Joseph McPhee. And he was actually a retired U.S. Air Force colonel. So he might have had ties. Anyways, he goes and does this mission, comes back to the University of Utah, never finishes. And he only has these jobs where he's working for an ice cream shop or a candy store or a seasonal job here or there. He works for a Mormon LDS thrift store. He never actually has like any sort of a high-paying job. And yet this guy is known as the national convention guy. He's been to almost every single national presidential national convention, whether it's Republican or Democrat. We're talking Reagan, both Bushes, Donald Trump, Obama. He's been to inaugurations. He snuck his way into Ronald Reagan's funeral past Secret Service, and he like brags about this. He's met every and knows almost every senator. He knows all the university presidents in Utah. He knows, which is interesting considering the Charlie Kirk assassination. He just knows, he just has a Rolodex of people, and he pops around between New York, Denver, DC, Utah, and all of these other places around the country, which would be hard to do if you're just some guy that's working at a thrift shop, making bomb threats, periodically going to jail for terrorism and getting out.
What? So did he talk about going to jail and stuff?
He didn't talk about going to jail. In this interview, you can tell, this is just my opinion, he's savvy at the way he gives you little pieces of information and then steers the interviewer away from the important questions. Like the guy is trying to say, what were your jobs? You've been in this political world. Like, you know all the presidents. You've had a sack lunch with Ronald Reagan. How is this possible? And he's like, well, I worked at a candy shop. And the guy's like, well, what other jobs? And he's like, I worked at this ice cream place that was really crazy for a while. He skirts around the questions. But when you plug this information into ChatGPT, for example, it's interesting because it talks about how the LDS community is known for being recruited in the intelligence communities because of their cultural adaptation and also because of these missions. Many of them speak many different languages. But of course, these people don't drink, they don't smoke, right? They're brought up in a way to be very dedicated. And so the Washington Post has reported on this. Many newspapers have reported on the fact that the intelligence communities like to recruit LDS. So that coupled with all of the places he's popped up, I think there's something there.
It does seem like there's something there. And I think there's, I don't think we have it in front of us here, but there's that one panning shot of immediately after Charlie Kirk was hit.
I do have it.
He stands up immediately, which would be an odd thing to do because you don't know how many other shots are coming, right? People's natural reaction would be to duck down because you don't know if that's the first of many shots, right?
We've seen him.
That is far too common in America, mass shooting. So it's everybody else is ducking down and he's standing up.
Yeah. What's up? If you want to look at that, I actually have that. It's C2.
Oh, C2. Okay.
And it's wild because, of course, you hear gunshots in a public place. You're going to drop to the floor.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then run.
Yep, there he is. Okay.
But he, as you can see in this image, and it's a little blurry, but you can see what Joe Rogan's talking about, where his pants drop, which is weird. I don't know if that was an accident, but, and then he's taking like a, I don't know if it's,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a Padres, I don't know if he borrowed James Lee's, you know, wardrobe,
hat.
But he takes some sort of a floppy hat and he's like flagging down people to come look at him. That would happen if you were aware something was going to take place, right?
It seems like it.
Why else would you do that? If you heard gunshots, you're not sure if this is going to be a mass shooting. Most shootings in the United States are not one and done.
Exactly.
So why would you be like, get me, get me? No.
Right, because there could be nothing more shots coming.
Right.
At that point.
To me, that means you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Which discredits this lone wolf, one man theory that we're being fed by the FBI.
And it's almost never a lone wolf. In these high-profile assassinations, it's never the lone wolf. Like, lone wolves do exist, and they've happened just this past weekend many, many times. But you could see the media coverage and the way the information flow is much different.
Right.
Than this situation, right? There's not all of this, like, immediate, everybody's covering, and they're talking about intelligence, right? That one dude who goes on to Fox News and says, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of foreign intelligence. Like, they're not saying that about the guy that drove his truck into the Mormon church in Michigan.
Oh, speaking of the guy that went on Fox, we were just saying this earlier. He was being reported as this liberal. In this podcast, he is bragging about how he's this huge Republican supporter.
Yeah.
He doesn't agree with a lot of these Democrats.
Mm.
He loves the Republican Party, which is also odd because you're acting, right? It feels like he's acting. Many people feel that he's playing a role, right? And he's acting like he wants to get rid of Charlie Kirk, who was spearheading a young Republican movement. So you would think with his Mormon values and everything that he said on this podcast that's now been scrubbed, but we'll have to put it out there.
Well, it's very interesting that it is being scrubbed, because is there anything that he says in this podcast that's incriminating in any way?
No, I don't think incriminating, but I think that when you are able to look at all of these different pieces of information and look at the big picture, right? It wasn't just this guy was acting weird at the Charlie Kirk assassination, but he has ties to all of these very high profile political leaders.
Yeah.
And Henry Kissinger was one of them.
This guy knows the Secretary of State.
I mean, it's insane. And so how is the thrift shop worker, no offense to anybody that works at a thrift shop, right? But how is this guy that's, you know, scooping cones at the ice cream? Actually, he worked in the factory. I don't want to give any misinformation. But how is this factory worker, you know, thrift shop guy getting all these connections? And, you know, he also tells this story. He's bragging about how he loves the Broncos. And, you know, he snuck past the security at the Broncos stadium and was meeting all the players. So this guy is self-proclaimed worming his way into Ronald Reagan's funeral.
Yeah, I feel like
past
a snuck
past
is a bit of a euphemism that he's using there, because I hear that and I think, well, you can't sneak past that many people that many times. You would be on some kind of watch list, right? The Secret Service would be like, hey, keep an eye on this guy.
Right.
It would just be almost like he was let into these places.
Right. If you
but
had one story, if you had one story like, whoa, there's like the story about the people. I think one was like a ex-housewife of Miami, and her husband snuck into a state dinner at the White House and they didn't know. They somehow got past Secret Service. Maybe you have one story like that, right?
Yeah.
But all the time, this is one other thing, and then we'll go off. But he marries this woman. Okay, you can pull up element F2, I think it is. Joanne Kathleen Edwards. The guy's just wanting to know about his life. The podcaster's generally interested in this guy, George Zinn, Utah's most famous political celebrity. Remember, that's what they named him, which is weird. And he's like, yeah, I liked girls when I was younger. I stalked a couple.
What?
But it never, you know, I got the sign. I didn't like anywhere. And the guy's like, oh, so never been married, no kids. He's like, no, I got married once. And he's like, oh, who? He's like, it lasted for 2 weeks. And the guy's like, oh, only 2 weeks? He's like, no, it actually lasted 7 years. We weren't really in love, but there was this girl and I got kicked out of my place and I needed a place to stay. And she's very Mormon. And so she said, these are the two options. Either you leave or we get married. We didn't even do it through the church. We just did a quick ceremony. And it's this lady, Joanne Kathleen Edwards. And he calls her a cat lady. And he's the one who uploaded her picture in findagrave.com. She's passed away now. A year before he did this interview. This interview was in 2023, so not long ago. And she worked for the IRS, and he basically just said, like, it was a place to stay while I traveled, you know, and did my travels to all these places. Also, a characteristic and a sign of somebody that would be an intelligence, right?
It's possible. I mean, I'm not an expert of who's supposed to be intelligence, who's not supposed to be intelligence, but this is a hilarious picture, though.
I mean, trust me.
He uploaded.
I started thinking, is this woman real, right? Because I was like, this picture looks like a fake picture, right? She's sitting here with her red curly hair and the two white cats, but they did post this on her high school website. But everywhere...
No, it looks like a real picture. It's just funny.
George Zinn, I mean, I was like, this is a fake picture. But everywhere it says George Zinn and her had a brief marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's always described as brief. 7 years isn't that brief.
Well, I thought it was 2 weeks, you said.
He said it was 2 weeks, and then the guy pushes him, and he's like, no, no, it was 7 years. Mm. It was just the best 2 weeks of my life. Ha ha.
Interesting. That might be just, I don't know, because George is, I don't know if he's a trustworthy narrator. Right? Some of the stuff, I will just... say out there, the stuff in the podcast, right? It could be real. It could be, some of it could be fabricated. We don't know for sure. It could be a number of different things. So just take that with, you know, we're not trying to say that this is the definitive George Zinn. But it does seem like he's a very weird guy. He's probably tied into something that allows him to be at all these places, at the very least, without getting any kind of legal repercussion.
And getting arrested for terrorist bomb threats and then getting let out of jail. It's like Jeffrey Epstein, right?
Like, yeah.
We have 100 victims, but like, oh, get out of jail free. Like, you're back on the streets.
Yeah.
Just feels very odd. And again, this podcast was 2 years ago. This was in 2023. And he's, you know, named I know I've said this three times, but... the podcast is titled Utah's Most Famous Political Celebrity. He is known for being at all of these rallies, all of these events, rubbing shoulders with all of these very high profile political people. That's why they wanted to do the interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because he was the guy waving his hat around the Charlie Kirk assassination. It hadn't happened yet. So I think that's what they wanted to scrub. We don't want the information out there that he has any ties to anybody in the government. Because that's a red flag.
Yes. That obviously is a red flag. I mean, it's obvious at this point that there's a massive cover-up happening right now, and I've pointed it out. And where I'm at with the whole Charlie, I'm curious where you're at with this, but it certainly looks like our clip, you know, that we put out with Mark Divine when he was talking about how it's a professional hit. I think that's aging very well.
100%.
Because people were coming at him. They were coming at us saying that they're the gun experts and they know everything.
Which is laughable. He was a...
20-year
Navy SEAL, yeah. Special ops.
20 years of service.
And, you know, just this unbelievable guy, an expert in the field. And people that are at home that have shot an airsoft gun are like, I don't think so.
But now the gun experts are coming out there saying, hey, this is a .30-06 caliber, right? The FBI is officially, it's in documentation. They can't go back on this now without really screwing everything up. So it's definitely that gun. Definitely that caliber bullet. And there's all kinds of videos out there saying, look, this is what happens when you shoot that. It'll fucking eviscerate your neck.
There are videos of them shooting it through a body, but they put a wood plank 3 inches thick behind the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And it shoots through that. And remember, I don't think we've even talked about this part of the...
It's shooting through two pine tree trunks.
Okay. They use this gun to shoot elephants. Right? It is a hunting rifle for mm-hmm. big game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've talked about this on here yet because we had Jillian Michaels last week, so we might have had a week gap. They're saying that Charlie Kirk's neck is the neck of steel.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullet stopped in his body. Now there's dispatch audio saying that there was no autopsy done.
That, by the way, has been refuted by TPUSA folks saying there is an autopsy
done. Okay. So there is an autopsy, but we haven't been privy to the information.
They said in 4 to 6 weeks is the time frame that should come out.
So they can, you know, ChatGPT a new script. And a big reason that everybody wanted to know, you know, what was going on with the bullet is because they hadn't presented a bullet. And obviously we had, you know, been told about the bullet engravings and, you know, was this the shot? There's many people that are saying, no, the shot came from a different angle or it would have hit a different way. And so then this is just a perfect narrative for them. Oh, it stopped in his body.
Stopped in his body somehow. I've seen now a few videos of expert ballistics people saying it's basically 0% probability it could be stopped by the spinal cord. It's just not going to happen.
And I think it's a 0% probability that you have a character like George Zinn popping up at all these events. I'm dead serious. I think somebody did do the probability of it with just like the 9/11, the Boston, the Utah thing, and it's like 1 in 2 billion.
Yeah.
But now you add in all these other stuff, it probably is also a 0% chance.
0%. And then it just so happens that the gun they presented as evidence is some untraceable World War I or World War II era gun that you can't trace, right? There's no serial number. Very interesting. And then
it's Grandpa's gun.
Grandpa's gun. And then the early eyewitness reports, right? This is a part that there was the dispatch that was going on. They were telling the police not to interview anybody at the scene. They didn't want any eyewitness interviews. Stand down order from the FBI to the local police. And I'm like, wouldn't you want eyewitnesses right away at least to capture?
Immediately,
because it's fresh in people's minds, right? They would say, hey, and then there was that other guy that was giving his eyewitness testimony, and then some guy from Turning Point came and grabbed him and said,
yes.
And he's like, what
the
fuck?
So weird.
Very bizarre. There was the reports, a couple of reports, right? One from, I think, on Fox News, the dispatch lady saying, hey, described wearing tactical gear.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then there's other people that are now going frame by frame in the roof video, and they show that the shadow disappears.
I did see that. I don't know if that's just because the camera resolution is really bad.
But why do we have bad camera resolution? Okay, right?
Yeah.
No, seriously, that's a real question. The UVU campus had just been installed with this high-tech surveillance camera system, like a month before. We all have a phone. This phone... You can get the crevices of the moon with this phone. You're telling me you can't get a clear shot of this?
Yeah, and I made the point too. Why did you start the tape where it was at? Why didn't you...
Great point.
Rewind 2 minutes. You could have shown him getting on the roof, setting up the gun, taking the shot, and then this whole thing would be put to bed.
Right.
Why do you only show the part where he's running? And also when he's running, by the way, there are people in the background... And I'll pull this clip up. There's people in the background just walking about. And this is supposedly a few seconds after the gunshot wound. Wouldn't you be running or ducking down? There's just people milling about in the parking lot behind. And the people who were there, it's like, that was one of the loudest sounds I've heard.
Of course. And it wouldn't just be the sound of the gunshot, right?
Or it'd be people screaming.
Screaming.
Yes.
You would immediately know instinctually something bad is happening.
Exactly. And there is a person walking towards the quad. There's a person walking away, but it seemed like nothing was happening.
Also, with cameras, there is that TPUSA camera right next to Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't we gotten that footage?
And they could have had that footage and they could have said, hey, we're going to present this during the trial, so we don't want the evidence out there to be tampered with or something. That's what they say. Hey, that's what a lot of people that are getting mad at me for this kind of thing, they're saying, oh, you're an idiot. This is obviously going to come out in the actual trial. And so why do you need the evidence?
Yeah, you know? You know what I have to say? People say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist to me, da-da-da, oh, you're an idiot. At this point, if you're not questioning things, I think you're an idiot. I really do. I just have to say that. Because the government has a track record now in my lifetime, in your lifetime, of lying to us over and over and over again. and they've been caught red-handed. And so how am I going to trust your word for it, especially when you're doing such a sloppy job?
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. Speaking of TPUSA, I think it is kind of weird that they've all moved on as an organization and said, yep, this is what it is. We're moving forward. And one of the points that I've heard brought up is the only reason why you're not asking questions is probably because you know the answer already. So they probably know what happened. I mean, they had the high-resolution camera triangulated. You could definitely see frame by frame because we're shooting. I think the people were saying, hey, the iPhone shoots at whatever, 30 seconds or 30 frames per second. They have much, you know, higher frame rate cameras that are being pointed directly at Charlie Kirk. So you would be able to see this stuff. The reason why they're not really looking into it because they don't really want to. They probably already know what happened and they don't want to open that can of worms. And so everything there, which we're going to get into next, is quite weird.
Yeah. And I know there's people that don't like referencing Candace as a source. But once again, I just have to say, she has brought up the fact that on September 6th, I believe, like a week before, maybe it was the 2nd, the assassination, week before the assassination, Charlie Kirk was noticing that money had been leaving TPUSA.
Yeah.
And he started to do like his own doge within the administration. And there are emails, internal emails that support this, that she showed saying, hey, you know, Charlie wanted to know where money was going.
Yeah.
So that's weird. That's just another weird thing. Was it a bad actor?
Within TPUSA. Yes. We don't know. That's the thing is.
Yes.
When you get to a figure of Charlie's prominence, you usually have multiple enemies. Yeah, by the way, Better Buzz Coffee, not good coffee.
It's not, I don't even drink coffee, it's tea. And I just want to say.
Oh, tea, yeah.
I'm like, can I just have a black tea? And they're like, I don't understand. I'm like, just heat up the water and put the tea bag in. Like, it's really that simple. And it's kind of, but anyways.
Okay, so So I wasn't going to get into this stuff because I think it's a little bit too soon. It's a little bit insensitive. I wasn't going to drag Erica Kirk into this, but now it's gotten too weird. And now I need to talk about her. I
but
apologize.
Now I am.
But now I are. I am. So let me first play this because I just got like weird vibes. Like I think you've probably seen this clip, but let's play it. And then you tell me what you think after this.
Unused material from speeches that he's had that no one has heard yet. We have Sunday specials lined up to the brim because my husband was so intentional about making sure that there was enough content. Always.
Yeah. He made sure we recorded everything.
Everything.
He would not do a speech unless we could get the video and the
100%. So we have speeches that no one's heard of. We have interviews that no one's heard of. We have stuff from Korea and Japan that no one's heard of.
Podcasts.
So, I mean, in the words of my husband, buckle up because there is a lot of content to be had. And we have so many amazing things down the pipeline that we are working on currently that will
unveil in due time.
I am so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, just look at her face. Like, I would not be in this state of mind. It's okay, I know everybody grieves differently. That's what people are saying. This could be a mechanism of defense and you're just trying to put up a brave face. But like, she looks a little bit too happy in that shot.
So yes, everybody grieves differently. And I think that is fair to say, right? My grandma passed away a month ago. She was my best friend in the whole world. She lived a full life, 93. I'm a strong Christian woman. I public speak. I couldn't get through her speech at the funeral. And she died of old age. She had dementia. I was happy that she had passed away because her suffering was gone, right? Mm-hmm. If my husband was assassinated and murdered.
Publicly executed.
Publicly executed. And this is me, right? Everybody grieves differently. I don't know that I would be able to put on this face. Now, I might be more like Candace in the sense that, like, I'm going to find out who the fuck did this.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna seek revenge. Like, I would be mad. She is acting, I think, odd considering the situation. I do, and I didn't want to say it either.
I didn't want to say it.
And a lot of people feel this way. A lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of girlfriends of mine, they're like, I feel so bad. Is it a little weird to you? People are saying that. It kind of feels weird, right? Something in your gut's like,
I don't want to say it. I'm just going to let Nick Fuentes say it, actually. You know? I'm just going to let Nick say it. I don't want to say it. He's going to say it. Here we go.
It's like, lady, didn't your husband just get his face blown off like 2 seconds ago? And not to be insensitive about it, but everyone's thinking it. No one wants to be the asshole. No one wants to say it. Everyone's thinking it. Everyone was thinking it when she gave the first speech. Everyone was definitely thinking it at the memorial. Nobody wants to say it because it's inappropriate. It's insensitive. I am the troll, right? So I'll be the one to say it. I think it's super inappropriate. I think it's inappropriate. I think it's weird. It's bizarre. Something is off there, and I don't like it. But they're doing the Super Bowl commentators with the headsets on doing a media table. They're selling merch, registering voters. They got pyrotechnics. Is this WrestleMania or is this a funeral? Like, what are we doing here? And then the day after the funeral, I'm getting 500 texts and emails. Erica Kirk here. I miss him. Every time I blink, every beat of my heart. Make sure to donate $5, $15, $25. It's like, okay. Then they're doing a show. Did you see the show today? And so prescient. I said it last night. I said, I'm getting like a fake vibe. Something's off there. And people say, well, everybody grieves differently. Yeah, I don't know how much mileage we can get out of that one anymore. Something's not right there. Very bizarre, weird vibe there. And did you see the show? Erica hosted the Charlie Kirk show this afternoon, and she's like, she looks like she's over the moon. She's happy as a clam.
Look at this.
And again, I'm not, who am I to judge? Everybody grieves differently. She's a very devout Christian. Some people say maybe that's just strength, that's resolve. I don't know. It's one thing if your husband dies, period. It's another thing if your husband dies at age 31, unexpectedly. It's another thing if your 31-year-old husband unexpectedly dies because he gets publicly executed with blood gushing out in front of thousands of people screaming and running away. That's like something that's altogether different.
So, just a little, you know.
No, I mean, I totally agree. I think that's what people are feeling. And you know, to be devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Someone, because I was bringing this up, and someone said, well, you know what? Maybe she feels super responsible to carry on Charlie's legacy. And so she's just mustering every ounce of strength. And she is this strong, educated woman. And she's just saying, like, this is what Charlie would have wanted. I'm getting in the chair. I'm doing it. And she's putting on a smile. And then, you know, behind closed doors, she's bawling and breaking down. You know, that's possible.
That's highly possible. And I want to discount that possibility.
Yeah.
Right. We want to be as sensitive as possible in this situation.
Yeah.
While also now digging into her past a little bit, because we, you know, we have to.
Yeah.
We have to. And this is, okay, so I'm going to summarize, because there's a lot of things going out there, so I'm going to summarize what's out there and what's reasonable or credible versus not. So this is all facts that I'm about to present here. This is undisputed facts, okay? Erica was born, Erica Frantzvi. Her father, Kent Frantzvi, once chaired the Israel division of the arms corporation Raytheon, okay?
What?
Linking her family directly to the Israeli military, military industrial complex. I mean, this is from Ron Unz. This is from the Unz Review. He's like a conservative journalist. So that's already a little bit interesting there. And then in a 2020 interview, Erica stated that her mother was, quote unquote, getting involved with the government, aka Homeland Security and the Department of Defense. And I actually have that clip, I'm pretty sure, here, so I can play it. I don't have that clip. I will find it and add it later. But that's already a little bit bizarre as well. So she's moving to, because they asked her why she moved to Arizona.
Okay.
And she said, well, it's because my mom got a job in the government. And then more people dug in. It's like some defense contractor,
Homeland Security situation. I'm starting to think that they knew George Zen.
Yeah. So now there's some connections there. And then you brought this up to me last week. Confirmed, right? In 2012, she won a beauty pageant owned by Donald Trump. She was Miss Arizona 2012. Not saying that that's sketchy, like people go from pageant to government all the time, especially in this administration, right? I think the ambassador to the UN is also another pageant queen. There's a bunch of people that is the pageant to, I guess, government official pipeline.
It's kind of like the LDS
pipeline.
And intelligence, right? Like yeah. If you're well-spoken and you can present yourself well, you know, a lot of these pageant girls are very smart. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, disciplined. So that's not crazy, right?
Not crazy. And then it says here at age 23, she sets up a Christian evangelical organization called Everyday Heroes Like You, which developed a program called Romanian Angels behind the slogan, helping God's forgetting children or forgotten children find wings. And it is suspected of having been involved in child trafficking, Romania being known for such activity and worse. So I think that last part right there, I've looked into it and there's nothing reported that says
I was like, this, oh my God.
This exact organization has been criminally convicted of this. They're just generalizing, hey, this is the type of stuff that happens at these Romanian children's shelters, these adoption centers. This is what happens. So a bit of a dark past, I would say. And then she's also featured in Summer House. So she's also kind of like a...
Which is a Bravo show, if you're not aware. Reality show of kids that work hard in New York and then they go out and party in the Hamptons every weekend.
But yeah, and it seems that she's not some chick that Charlie met somewhere and then fell in love with. It seemed like she was brought in to almost like seduce him a little bit. I am throwing out a little... That alleged honeypot kind of... language there.
Haven't
again.
You learned your honeypot theories? I know, the last get you time. In trouble.
But there is something, and then this is more on conspiracy land. I think you'll find this fun.
Oh.
But there's this music video that she was in many years ago. And it's a music video for the band Emerson Drive. Never heard of them. The song is called She's My Kind of Crazy. And it's her. She's like the main love interest of this music video. And she's like in Las Vegas, and the numbers 910 is flashed in part of the video where she's like walking by the strip. It just has this 910. I don't know if you can see it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw it on your side.
And also, for the person people that are video, like, well, what does 910 mean? That was the day that Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Right. That's why people are having an issue with 910 flashing, because September 10th.
September 10th. And also the person that she's hanging out with in that video is named Tyler. This is the just fun conspiracy for me. Like, I'm not thinking that this is predictive programming, although it, I guess it's been shown that they do that sometimes. And then there was that other thing that Snake Eyes, not related to Erica Kirk, but there's that Snake Eyes movie that...
Yeah, I did a story on that.
A lot of similarities. I think this is the fun stuff. But I think that the really disturbing stuff, I think, is her past... Father tied to Israeli military, mom is in Homeland Security, somehow gets set up with Charlie Kirk. I've heard some people say that Trump introduced them and they actually met in Israel. I have...
Oh my God.
I have not been...
Are you serious? Who told you that?
This is the online...
Okay.
So then I tried to verify, and it seemed like they definitely went to Israel together.
BB waited on the table. Yeah. What can I get for you tonight, salmon or the lobster?
But it was they met in the U.S. They met in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they did take a sponsored Israel trip at some point.
Interesting. I mean, look, I think that there is a lot of weird stuff. But I also think it can be easily explained, right? Like, you're a privileged, beautiful girl that grows up with a family with connections.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's weird for people to say, hey, right? Like, we know this guy. He's an up and coming. You have this beautiful daughter. She's won pageant. She's smart. Like, they should go on a date. That happens all the time, right? She's in charities. She does beauty pageants. Yes, her family's involved in the same world that, you know, these government officials are. And Charlie Kirk was in that world. So
they've actually said how they met. They've described this in detail. I watched the video last night.
I think, is it where they like go on a date and she's interviewing for TPUSA?
Yeah, so the story that they have put out there publicly is that she was interviewing for a job at TPUSA. Charlie Kirk is interviewing her. And then by the end of the interview, he said, well, I just want to date you.
He says, I can't hire you.
Yeah.
Because I actually want to date you.
Right.
And which, of course, like every girl's like, that's cute.
It's also somewhat inappropriate if you think about it as well. You're in a job interview and then the guy is now hitting on you. It's only appropriate if you're also interested in the guy. This is the kind of stuff.
Well, considering they went on to have children and get married, you know.
So what I'm laying out there is I'm not sure if she was placed there to be this figure where they knew Charlie Kirk would fall in love with and have all this situation. I will play one last clip with from the Turning Point, the Charlie Kirk show, the executive producer here. And I just think he says something kind of weird here where he says, like, oh, she got a call from somebody very important. But he doesn't say who it is, but it seems like kind of a turning point, if I were to use that terminology.
But in the immediate hours afterwards, Erica got a call from somebody very important. I'll leave that vague out of privacy.
Why? Why do you do? Wait, hold on. I said, why do you do this? Like, yo, we're gonna leave it. We're gonna tell you like the most important thing, but then leave out who it's from.
Anyways. Yeah.
See, but she got a call from somebody very important, and the question was, what do you know? Sort of asking how much of what's going on behind the scenes and with the relationship, like, what do you know? And her reply back was, everything. Oh. I know everything.
And then that's it.
I think that the big thing here is, you know, yes, she has this background where she was obviously trying to get on TV. She wanted to be in music videos. And then, you know, she ends up marrying this like public figure and she was kind of doing that life that she mm-hmm. wanted. I don't think anybody would be questioning anything if it wasn't for the fact that she just became the head of taking over a $500 million company
mm-hmm.
and basically putting herself in politics, right? Because now people are saying, is Erica Kirk going to be the first female president of the United States? And I think that, you know, she is the moment. She is this, right? She's almost like the Michelle Obama people are saying when, you know, Michelle gave that speech, when they go low, you go higher, whatever it was. She's giving these speeches. She's inspiring people. She's this strong woman. I think she has a background in political science, like a master's in that, right? So she also has the background to pursue politics if she wanted to. It would almost be like a, not jumping ground, but, you know, what am I trying to say? A starting point, not a turning point, a starting point for her to kind of jump into this new career. And so I think that when you put yourself into politics, into now being a CEO of this $500 million company, a week after, 5 days after your husband was publicly executed, then that does open up a window for people to go, ugh, something doesn't feel right. Is this normal, right? You know, she was this trad wife. She was on his show and he would bring her on and she'd sit there and she'd be like, I can't even focus on what you're saying because you're just so handsome. She would just stare at him. She'd be like, I can't, you know, you're just so handsome. And then she comes out after he's publicly executed and she's like, totally different person. Now I'm CEO.
Yeah.
So people are feeling like, well, which one is it? And yes, you can be both. You can be both, but it's just a lot. And so I think the fact that we don't know who killed Charlie Kirk, there's questions around everything else. People are not going to question everything.
And they should. They should absolutely question. And that's the part I get stuck on is that shouldn't they also be doing it? Maybe they're doing it in private and we don't know. Maybe they're having their own internal investigation into trying to find out who is behind.
Well, she said she knows everything.
Well, that was in reference to like the organization.
Oh.
And I don't know who gave her that call. But it's like, oh, you know, it's almost like, okay, now she's being, they're moving the next chess piece in play. It's like, okay, you know everything. You're getting this call and now you're in that driver's seat position.
Yeah. And I think it's appropriate for her to take over. I think it's the expedited.
It's the speed at which is happening. And it's also just some of the optics around it. Like, you don't even know for sure at this point who did it.
No.
I know a lot of people say, oh, Tyler, obviously Tyler Robinson. But the facts are that he never confessed. And that's not just Candace saying it. That's according to the affidavit itself. He never confessed. The affidavit says the family said all this stuff about him, and that's why he's our number one suspect, and that's why we're bringing him in. Nowhere on there does it say Tyler Robinson admitted to any crime. Everything that was talking about how he was radicalized by leftist trans ideology, that's all coming from family members. on the affidavit, and then if you then add in Candace's reporting, which you can believe or not believe, she's saying that the family was told that they had to do this or else Tyler's life would be in jeopardy.
Also, if you're going off of Candace, she said that the family didn't even know he was gay.
Right. So that's also... The story doesn't line up.
It doesn't line up. It doesn't line up. And then now there are reports that Lance, the significant other of Tyler Robinson, has disappeared.
Yeah.
So the guy that gave you the note under the keyboard that said, if I have a chance to shoot Charlie Kirk, I'm going to take it, that was destroyed, but you took a picture of it and then you gave the picture to the FBI.
Yeah.
That guy's gone. The guy with the ChatGPT messages back and forth, gone.
Yeah.
Gone. They don't know where he is. He's just, what, in witness protection with George Zinn somewhere? You know what I mean? Getting ready for the next event. I don't know.
And what are they trying to orchestrate here? You know, I'm not going to say it's Israel, but it might be Israel. No, I'm kidding.
Well, and a lot of people, look, who knows, right? We don't know.
That's the thing is we don't know, and we want to find out. We don't want, I think FBI, I was reading the other day, they're basically closing the investigation.
The Tyler Robinson?
Yes. They're saying that they've pretty much collected all the evidence that they need.
Well, yeah, because you've cemented over the crime scene. Yeah. There's nothing to collect.
Right. They're saying, like, we're done fact gathering. We're not doing anymore. Oh, my God. Right. I guess they have their case, which makes sense. They're like, hey, this was the lone gunman. He was here. He was here. Here's the gun. Here's the note. What else do they have? If they open any more, then it's going to only open up more cans of worms for them, which I don't think they want.
No, but I think that they need, it's just so weird because Kash Patel ran on, we're going to give you full transparency.
Yes.
Right? He ran on, we're going to give you full transparency. And now we're getting nothing again. And so I think that the public would actually respect it more if they were to say, hey, we're still looking at everything. We don't know for sure. We have this guy. We think he's involved in some way. But we don't think it's a lone wolf. We don't think he's a solo guy. It doesn't make sense. And again, to, you know, Mark Devine's point, a 20-year Navy SEAL special ops sniper said, when you have a sniper situation, you have a spotter. Mm-hmm. And people thought that was crazy. Oh, you have to figure out the wind. When you look at the angle on the roof, the tent is covering Charlie Kirk. You have thousands of students. You have so many variables. You would need somebody saying clear now.
And there were multiple people in the crowd that was doing weird hand movements. I know the guy said this. They're all supposedly tied in with the organization. The guy with making the baseball signs. He was apparently a very close friend of Charlie Kirk's.
Right.
Now we know
he's
that.
He's going to be the third base coach tonight for the Padres.
I hope not. We got to win this game. Anyways, for game one, this is digressing, but the team that wins game one wins like 70% of the series. So
James has got his floppy hat on ready for the game.
So I just think that right now he did. So to Kash Patel's credit, if you want to give him a little bit of credit, he did release this tweet saying that, this was like maybe a week and a half ago at this point, saying that, we're looking at the theories around the guy with the tan signals. We're looking into this and that and the plane that people were talking about, the one that turned off the transponder. But then immediately after that, there was massive backlash because they're saying, hey, if you do this, you're basically going to blow our case in terms of from the court of law. Because now you have injected reasonable doubt that Tyler Robinson was a lone gunman. And now this, because in court, right, all you need reasonable doubt, right?
Yes.
That's what you're trying to get to. And now the jury's like, well, look, you're even saying that FBI is saying that this may be a coordinated event. So how do we know for sure that Tyler Robinson is the lone gunman? So then I think they really quickly.
I really hope that this trial is like a Johnny Depp Amber Heard and we can just, you know, it's streaming. It's not going to be.
Is he
going to
make it to trial? That's what
well,
now he's
so
on
that's
suicide watch or whatever.
You know, before we knew who the shooter was, I said to you, do not be surprised if this is a trans shooter with a manifesto and then he ends up dead. I said that before we knew who the shooter was. Oh, well, now he is, you know, dating a trans. There's a note manifesto that's burned. I don't know if you could consider the ChatGPT.
Oh, that was a weird thing, too. It's like, oh, we had a manifesto, but we don't have actual proof of it anymore. But we knew it existed at some point and we knew what it said.
And now he's wearing a suicide vest.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's all very weird. And I think we just have to keep digging and talking about it.
And that's I think that's why, moving on to sort of the next thing I want to talk to you about, which is that's why they need to censor the social medias out there, the various social medias that they need to control, is because because once you have these discussions going, you can't really, you know, put a lid back on Pandora's box. It's out there now, right?
Yeah. It's out there. Crazy because I've been censored on TikTok since I started it 2 years ago. And a lot of the time I would get censored for an RFK Jr. video, right? Because when the Biden administration in, it was you couldn't put really anything out conservative. So now I'm like, oh, Murdoch's buying it. Like, oh my God, this is going to be free sailing for me. And then I put out a story questioning Tyler Robinson. I get 2 strikes. You know, you can't question anything right now in the social media space, in TikTok. But yes.
And why? So let me play this. So this is Netanyahu just had this huge, I don't know what you call this, but a symposium of sorts with a bunch of influencers to try to see what they can do to better the image of Israel. And I think this is very, very interesting because of how he talks about social media. But I first want to play this question being asked because I think it's hilarious. Here we go.
So something I would like to raise, which was actually my first published paper, was how you and the Likud party are cut from the same ideological cloth as Trump and the GOP in America. And so specifically with Charlie Kirk's assassination, who was a big mentor of mine, who's my first mentor in the space, evangelicals, from all my research, evangelicals are the reason that Israel has been supported in public sphere outside of just Jews. So with Charlie's assassination and with the kind of trajectory that we see with like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, I guess I'm curious about what's another game plan if we lose evangelical support for the state of Israel? What's our backup plan to be strong, like outside of the diaspora?
Okay, so I think that was really important. The question is very important because it gets to the heart of a lot of the motivations around why Israel may have taken out Charlie Kirk, right? People say that's crazy. But then if you look at the motives are all there, right? Charlie Kirk was probably the most influential person among that group that she's talking about, evangelical Christians under 30.
100%.
And now about two weeks after he's passed, they're like, okay, well, Charlie Kirk's assassination, like how do we, you know, what do we do here about this evangelical support that he was turning, that he was really directing them to turn? And so like, how do we now keep that base?
And so
here's his answer.
I was going to ask, what did he say?
Here you go. This is the answer.
Christian influencers. Okay. You said, you talked about the woke right. And you said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant observation. The woke Reich, because these people, you know, they're not any different from the woke left. I mean, they're insane. They're loonies. But they're actually meeting on some of the things. And what we have to do is we have to secure that part of the base of our support in the United States. That is being challenged systematically. A lot of this is done with money. Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster. Okay? We have to fight back. How do we fight back? Our influencers. I think you should also talk to them if you have a chance. To that that community, they're very important. And secondly, we're going to have to use the tools of battle. You know, the weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well, okay? And you can't fight with cavalry. That doesn't work very well. And you have these new things, you know, like drones, things like that. I won't get into that. But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are the social media. And the most important purchase that is going on right now is class.
Followers.
TikTok.
Okay, before he says TikTok, okay, did you hear that?
No.
He's like, the most important purchase right now. And then
what were they saying?
They were saying followers. They were saying, I'll play it again. Let me play it again because it's hilarious because he's talking to a group of influencers.
Yeah.
And he's saying, what is the most important purchase? And people are just shouting out the answer.
And the most important purchase that is going on right now is Class?
Followers. And then he said bots. Okay, and the funny thing.
He says bots?
Someone, no, he didn't say bots.
Oh, somebody did.
Somebody said it. So then this is the reason why I'm pointing this out and I find it hilarious is because they're saying, hey, the reason why everybody hates us is because Qatar is buying bots or China is buying bots and they are turning people against Israel and they're getting radicalized by Islamic fundamentalist ideas or whatever. But then here is he's with his group of influencers and they're saying, what are the most important purchases? And the people are saying followers and bots. So then that basically means that they are these accounts, they're buying followers and they're buying bots.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But he says TikTok. But he goes
number one TikTok.
TikTok, number one, number one. And I hope it goes through because it's it can be consequential. Mm-hmm. And the other one, what's the other one that's most important?
X.
X.
Exactly. So now they got TikTok now, and they're going to go after X. And X is still the most free place. Like, you can find almost anything on there still, for the most part. I know things get scrubbed, deleted from time to time.
Yes.
But it is still where you can be the most free.
And I it'll be very interesting to see where that goes. Since Charlie Kirk's death, Elon has been like reposting go to church sentiment, which is interesting. I don't know if that's a...
Which is okay. I don't mind that. Like, go to church.
Yeah, no.
There's nothing wrong with going to church.
You might get shot, but other than that. No, I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm just saying, like, it's really sad what's going on. But yeah. I wonder if that's almost a way where he's slighting BB a little bit. Because he's never been vocal about any religion, has never said anything about that. BB says, we need to talk to Elon about Israel's image. And yes. He starts saying, go to church. I just thought that was kind of weird.
So you're saying Elon is trying to do like subliminal messaging there to people saying,
I don't know. I just thought
that
was
opposing something without actually opposing it. Cause we know Elon, the reason why he pivoted hard, remember he was doing this thing where he got really mad at the advertiser and say, go fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourselves. Like, who cares?
Yeah,
and then a month later he's in Israel doing like a nice Israeli propaganda tour. And then all is well again with the advertisers.
Yeah.
There's that force that he can't really avoid.
Yeah.
And now I think that's maybe what's coming next is like once you get control of TikTok, then the next
well, look,
other
even
big
if you
one
get
have-
control of TikTok, right? Look at this video. I'll play it.
Mm.
This is what came out after that meeting.
Okay.
We need our influencers. This is the most cringe shit I've ever seen in my life. Mm. Israel's image will continue to go down if this is your influencing plan. Listen to this. This is these two influencers are walking around, first of all, with their $25 Air One smoothies. And
imagine supporting people who start wars just to lose the wars so they can cry about it and then try it all again.
You musty anti-Semites are literally obsessed with Jews. Now walk with me. While you musty anti-Semites are stacking eviction notices, Jews are out here stacking up businesses.
Jews control all the industries. Maybe if you spent more time taking notes from successful people, you wouldn't have to spend your nights and weekends spreading hate from your anonymous account with an anime profile picture.
Do you work as hard as Jews? Do you network like Jews? No, because you're too busy cheering on a group of musty terrorists who smell like dirty earring backs. And if we're gonna keep it real, you're really mad because your income is giving side hustle.
Period.
How you gonna hate from outside Shabbat? You can't even get in.
Do they just say Jews control industry? Did they just say that in that video? Okay, no. What is that supposed to accomplish? Is anybody going to see that video and say, well, you know, I was kind of on the fence about Israel and now I'm down.
That's what I'm saying. I saw this and I was like, it's not working.
That gives like that kind of liberal kind of thing that Democrats do all the time where they think they're doing something. And I'm like, no, that video just makes people hate you more.
Like when they came out with that Olivia girl and they're like, this woman is going to bring men to the liberal party. And everybody on the outside is like, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just a kind of a yes queen moment where it's like, are you guys really doing anything? This is, I guess they think they're doing something. They're trying to shame
it's
people.
It's also scripted. It's fully scripted.
It's fully scripted, 100%, yeah.
But they're acting like they're just walking with their smoothies, and they're like, yes, oh my God, for sure, da-da-da. Like, it's icky.
This is the best they can get.
You know? And I don't know.
This one's not going to do it. No, this one's not going to do it.
But for me, the thing that I'm most concerned about is this clip that came up. Now, any conspiracy theory is anti-Semitic.
Ooh.
Listen to this.
Disinformation expert Mike Rothschild and former FBI and CIA special agent Tracy Walder. Great to have you both here. Mike, how do these spread? And by the way, why are we seeing so many anti-Semitic conspiracy theories right now?
Well, as I wrote about in one of my books, all conspiracy theories essentially have a hint of anti-Semitism, and all anti-Semitism is based around conspiracy theories. It's very natural for an unexpected traumatic event like Charlie Kirk's murder, caught on camera in front of hundreds of people, instantly broadcast around the world, to send people spinning off into wild theories of what happened, why it happened, who did it. We had no idea for almost 2 days. That is a petri dish where conspiracism and paranoia are going to grow. And everyone is going to latch onto a different theory based on whatever your own personal beliefs are. Whatever you wanted the shooting to be, for that, it was you. And it spreads instantly on social media.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough. But the point is that that's crazy to just say. And they have somebody.
Even in that clip before, though, the guy was, those two people, influencers, were basically validating an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, because they say it's anti-Semitic to say that Jews control the media or control banks, industries.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, yes, they do, because they work hard. So it's, I don't care how you get, but they do. They're saying they do, and it sucks for you that you don't. You should work harder so then you can.
Yeah.
So aren't they just validating the conspiracy theory?
I have no idea, but I just think
you don't want to get into that.
Well,
you don't
want to
go there.
I just think that it's getting out of control, and just it's very obvious that Israel is trying to get its hands in social media. Bibi said it himself. TikTok number one, X is number two. They also, Israel gave YouTube, I think it was like $70 million recently. And they're saying they're trying to, you know, change their image. Stop bombing Gaza.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
That's all you really have to do is stop that war and just say, you know, we're going to end this. There's good people there. We don't want any more issues. We don't want any more kids dying. And it would end it. But instead, you're just pumping a bunch of money into trying to take over control of speech.
You're right.
Saying, you can't say this. You can't say that. You can't. That's not going to work.
Well, then that's when the next phase after that, if it doesn't work, then it's the police state. Mm. Now you're going to go to jail if you say this.
It's a conspiracy theory.
That is not a conspiracy. conspiracy, but that's what's happening, right? You see the mobilization of troops around the U.S. You're seeing laws that are being proposed now to say we can revoke your citizenship if you say something bad about Israel. I mean, that's for a foreign country, too, by the way, which is crazy. And then reference to tweets, Ben Shapiro had this good one from many years ago. He said, I would gladly waive the born in USA requirement for presidency for Bibi. That is... I mean, as an American commentator, you
but
can't.
But he's the one that's going to take over Charlie Kirk's college tour and bring people to Jesus.
Also, the other guy, too. The guy you
no,
said.
No, but, yeah.
The I
oh,
know,
my God. The new
Breland Holler.
Lab-grown.
Yeah. No, yeah. Ben Shapiro's taking over the college tour. This other dude who, once again, you can.
Please show a picture of him when you do this. This young kid that's flying around in a private jet, and he's like, I'm so happy. We'll see you at the campus. I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Exactly. And then also all of these guys, you have to go to the Wailing Wall. You have to have the photo. Everybody has the photo.
What's really crazy is that Theo Vaughn, who's one of the biggest podcasters who has
spoken out against this.
Spoken out against specifically what's going on in Gaza, calling it a genocide. When Charlie Kirk's assassination happened 2 days later, he came out, and I don't even know where this is, but I'm going to play a little clip, and you might have to replace it with a different clip. But he just talks about how it makes him feel sick and how he's scared. He's scared.
I think something about that makes me sick. That's what it is. I think it's made me feel sick. And I think there's other stuff, you know, like feeling like there's like, it feels like some people in the world, like some like dark and powerful people know what's going on and they're not telling the rest of us. I think that feels like what's happening sometimes. And I don't know if I'm the only person that's feeling that. I feel like they all know something that's happening. It always feels like there's something bigger and eviler in the distance hiding behind something that's kind of laughing a little. And, yeah, and this just felt like the pinnacle of the horn of whatever creature that is, kind of. I don't know, something like that. Yeah, and it I think it's scary. It's like, yeah, it's like, where's safe?
He's actually reacting more somber than Erica.
Yeah, most people are.
In this video.
Most people are.
But isn't that, so I feel like a lot of people in the country felt this way.
Yeah.
Right? They felt sick by it, and they felt really sad by it.
Mm-hmm.
And Theo says over and over earlier in the clip that he felt scared. He felt scared. And then he goes and he's doing his Netflix tour, right? Yeah,
he just did a comedy special in, I think, the Beacon Theater in New York. And this is what people are saying. It's very interesting because he's obviously going through something right now.
Yeah.
And he says something like to the, I think I can play this. I don't know if you can hear him, but I'll play it. So yeah, he says he's having a long month trying not to take my own life. So obviously he's going through something and I hope he's okay. Other people who saw the show said this, somebody who was in the crowd. They said, just came out of his 9 p.m. show. Started off strong, but it was a roller coaster that fell off at the end. There were multiple times where you would walk off stage to talk to someone or be in the middle of a story and forget where he was and restart. I absolutely love Theo, but to me, it seemed like he was on something, whether drugs or alcohol, and seemed to be more than just nerves. So it's clear that I think the Charlie Kirk assassination has impacted him in a certain way. And then you're saying potentially he says he feels scared. So it might be bringing...
He did say he feels scared. And I think that you can draw the connection that he's out here and he sees a world leader that he's disagreeing with saying, mm-hmm. we need to silence these voices. Mm-hmm. You see somebody publicly executed who was starting to question the what's going on in Gaza, right? And there's a lot of people, including you and I, have talked about this. Is Israel behind this? We don't know. It could be, like we talked about, George Zinn and intelligence. It could be another. We don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But those theories are out there. And then you're somebody who goes on tour. You do comedy shows where you don't have plexiglass around you. They could easily take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy that has worked so hard on his recovery. He's vulnerable. He's empathetic. I love Theo Von. And I just want to say, Theo, I'm praying for you. I think a lot of people are praying for you. I don't know if it's a relapse. People were saying that at the show. But severe anxiety can make you tweak out, mm-hmm. right? If you're having severe anxiety and you don't want to be on stage and you're like, I could get shot. What was that? You're worried somebody's after you and it's creating that paranoia in you. It might seem like you're on drugs because you're walking off stage because you're like, oh my God, I saw something up in the stands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to get off. And it just breaks my heart that's where we are right now with freedom of speech in this country. That some of our most popular public voices are scared. They're scared. They're scared that they're going to get publicly executed if they go against who knows?
The narrative. The narrative. Whoever's in charge. And that's the thing is both sides... They have this freedom of speech, you know, battle cry when they're not in power. Mm-hmm. As soon as they get power, they try to shut it down. Because by nature, you can only censor if you're in power. People who are not in power, people like us, we don't have any power to censor anybody.
No.
And so we have to fight against censorship.
Well, we do actually in our comments, but we both don't.
I guess we do have the power to delete comment. I've never deleted a comment. I don't care.
Me either. And I've been dragged around. So, you know.
And yeah, you know, I guess I got a little taste of that recently as well. But I guess my point is that we must always fight for freedom of speech, because then when speech stops, that's where the violence begins. And neither of us are pro-violence. I don't think anybody should be really pro-violence.
No. And yeah, you experienced that a little bit last week. If we just want to, you know, touch on that briefly, because we interviewed Jillian Michaels. And, you know, it's just insane to me that people are not open to having a conversation with somebody. That is how people learn, and you can actually move your points forward. You have to have the conversations.
You have to have the conversations. And people were coming at me, they're saying, why didn't you go at her harder? And I said, well, this is my
real
guess.
Life.
This is my guess. If I'm going to do that, this isn't like a Piers Morgan show where they bring them on for a cage match. This is me sitting down and genuinely trying to understand her ideas. So yes, of course, when she says something I disagree with, I'm going to find a way to counter that, but do it in a respectful way where 100%. Maybe I can't like debunk and dissect every single sentence she says. She's like, why didn't you call her for this and that? And then she's, you know, I'm like, I said a few things that I felt like I could push her back on, that I could think I could get her. She, you know, she's over here, I'm over here. I'm like, I'm not trying to get her all the way over here, but I'm saying, hey, there's some things happening, so maybe she moves a little bit this way.
And you definitely did that, you know, where she's talking about Hamas, and you said, well, look who's been funding Hamas. And she didn't even know. A lot of people don't know certain information. And so it's important to have those conversations. And I think that you did a great job.
Well, and thank you.
I think that everybody should, that wants freedom of speech should reign, should be open to having conversations with anybody.
Anybody. And that's what this show is all about. So if you like freedom of speech, if you like conversation, if you like going down rabbit holes, definitely subscribe to the Today Show.
Yes. Let me know what you think about George Zinn. We're going to maybe on the in the YouTube description, we can put the link of the archived downloaded episode so other people can listen to it and make their own opinion. That's the one that I was referencing in this episode, Stokes and Folks, where you can actually hear George yourself. And yeah, let us know what you think about that. Let us know what you think about the Erica Kirk situation, the Israel situation. We want to hear all your comments. We love and thank you for your support. And we'll see you next time.